We can upload your entire album to fridges, washer dryers, blenders, and microwaves across the country.
You can do that?
Yes, nerd.
22 minute podcast. Don't wanna take up much of your time. Just gonna read some headlines. Stuff.
Welcome to the 22 minute podcast. My name is Wes Severson. Today is Tuesday, isn't it?
June 3rd, 2025.
And yeah, Mike Finley, James Fast right here.
Hi, y'all.
So we were talking before. I tell you what. Oh God, what was I going to say?
The silly putty?
My favorite. Okay. Yeah, because my grandmother would be like, yeah, $5 maybe like once a month or something like that at Walmart. Get yourself a toy, right? But really the favorite thing that my grandmother ever gave me were the free like educational computer games.
Oh yeah.
Because she was a teacher.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I did not care that I was doing math, man. I just like games, you know. I definitely probably 100% had a head start in math because of those games though. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe educational games are good. What is your daughter doing? Sorry. That's like, I'm so sorry, dude.
Oh, it's perfect.
Ah, God damn it. Okay. All right. What is Tuesday? Nothing, isn't it? It's just
isn't it.
All right. Well, let's get to today then. To today, June 3rd. What happened? On this day in 1932, Lou Gehrig hits 4 consecutive home runs in 1 game. That had to be wild.
Is that so, James? You watch a lot of baseball. Like, how many home runs are people typically hitting in a game? Is it like more than one ever?
As individuals,
It's the rarest thing, besides like an unassisted triple play.
Yeah.
So like, 4 in a game.
There's been
fucking crazy.
19 people that have hit 4 home runs in 1 game.
No shit.
I got to
out
see
of 5 billion MLB players.
Right. I got to see Pudge Rodriguez hit 3 in 1 game, and that like the crowd. The crowd was loose. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Marcus Semien went off last night. Anyway, shout out baseball.
Well, not so recently. I'm glad last night went well, but we haven't gotten to do the pod. I'm sorry, James. Just let me know when you want to record, and we definitely will. I'm available, I mean. And then get your boys in line, and we'll do it, you know?
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking about how I might want to restructure it and stuff, so.
Fair. We'll take your time,
whatever. It's been on my mind.
No
just
rush.
Taking a little break.
Obviously, it's a long season. But there has been a bit of a scoring drought. It was pretty embarrassing.
Nobody likes it.
Nope. No one's happy. Everyone's like, "What was 2 years ago?" Okay, good. That's pretty much it. But we'll get there. We'll get back. On this day in 1965, Ed White emerges from the orbital spacecraft Gemini 4 and becomes the first American astronaut to walk in space.
What fun!
I mean, honestly, if you weren't, he was like, "I'm gonna need a diaper."
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's going to be mind-blowing, but part of that's also going to be bowel-blowing. Unquestionably. But good for him.
Yeah, but the no-gravity thing, that kind of makes it like...
Yeah, dude, I don't know.
I wonder if everything feels better. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
I don't know.
Like, there's no weight on your
bones. There's nothing
bringing
you down, yeah.
But
at
the same time, I kind of want the doo-doo to collect. You know? I don't want it to just be... Just kind of hanging out around my anus and stuff. I wanted to be away from the anus.
This is an only child thing, isn't it?
I want my anus to be clean. Only children. No, you know what's funny? Have you ever heard this? This isn't funny. This is disgusting. But I remember hearing this like in my early 20s. A conversation. I like walked into this conversation that was already happening. And it was about... women, some young women at the time were talking about how like some men like don't wipe their ass well enough, and when you really get into it, it's because they don't want to touch their anus. Yeah, because they think it's gay.
No, I don't wipe my ass because that's
right.
That's gay.
Exactly.
Well, that's dumb.
Yeah. Hey, listen. I think we all probably had a revelation when we were. 8, 9, 10, very young, mm-hmm. where we were like, oh, I really need to get this done down here. You know what I mean? But if you're 20, if you're 21 years old and that's when you realize that you're not doing a good enough job, jail, straight through jail. Sorry.
Right through jail.
Right through jail. Sorry. Just Fred Armisen's voice just ringing in my head. All right, let's not talk. Yeah. Back to front as a man, straight through jail. Straight through jail. No, that's how I do it. I'm just joking. Because, okay, we're done. On this day in 1989, hey, that's the year we were all born, so Wee-oo. That's like the best year.
That's right.
Pro-democracy protest in Tiananmen Square. Oh, well, you know. Tiananmen Square crushed by... It's an important year, I should mm-hmm. say. Maybe mm-hmm. it's not the best. It's just a yeah. very important
Depends
year.
On where you lived.
Yeah, maybe not in China. God damn it, I cannot say that word. What do they really call... they don't call themselves China. You know what I mean? What do they call themselves? Anywho, we'll look it up. Crushed by Chinese military. That's no fun, my guy. More than 100,000 people protested, and hundreds lost their lives for freedom. You know, China's about to take over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that? Them and Russia and Iran. That's like all I got. You know? No, I could.
I saw someone ask AI. It was like a Chinese AI.
Uh-huh.
What happened in Tiananmen Square in 1989? And it responded nothing.
It didn't even say like there was a pretty good yogurt cart. You know what I mean? Like they didn't.
No,
you
yeah,
know?
Like, and then it's cart. Like it like starred out Taiwan whenever you fucking
right. Yeah,
entered okay. it and stuff. Crazy.
Well, I mean, that's the direction we're going. So, I think they're already in at
Gulf
least
of America.
Well, like in you know what? Okay, here's maybe my the pie shop didn't have any pies. Okay, I was listening to another audio broadcast, mm-hmm. and they were talking about how like Texas among some states that already have it mandated. That the Ten Commandments have to be
oh my God,
visible
yeah.
in the classroom, right? And honestly, these guys are generally pretty lib. And I'm not saying they're even making – they didn't go into like, well, that's good. They didn't do any of that. It was just more of like, do you think kids give a shit what's on
right.
the wall? And I'm like, well, yeah, okay, great, but it's not about that.
No, it's not about that is right.
And I don't know. Listen, they had us do a Pledge of Allegiance. That's not religious. But even then – around 16, I just didn't stand mm-hmm. up anymore for that, which no one ever said a word to me about, mm-hmm. right? Which I do think all of this has become so politicized because I think ultimately most people are, if it wasn't so politicized and it wasn't social media and everything, just being able to have everything on fire all the time and your moment before is getting riled up by videos and shit and articles and all that. Before all that, it'd be like, oh, here's some kid, and whether he's being rebellious because he's a kid or like it's his, who cares?
Right.
I don't care.
Right.
You know what I don't want to do? Disrupt this class.
Right.
And have a conversation, or like, who cares? And yeah, that's the biggest. Everybody's just a busybody these days. And that's why women can't get abortions anymore. I mean, it's the truth.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. Okay. Well, there we go. There's my pie shop. Didn't have any pies, as I needed those
magnificent.
I needed those 50-year-old men, the white men who I listened to on the fucking terrestrial radio to be more lib, and they failed me.
Mm.
But you know what? They also failed me the day that Trump was inaugurated for the second time. They really did. I'm not going to go into it, but shame.
Ding, ding.
Shame. It's Game of Thrones, you know what I mean? Okay. Moving on. Ba-dum-bum, ba-dum. On this day in music history. On this day in 1982, George Strait's second album, Straight from the Heart. Honestly, if his third, fourth, or fifth record wasn't called Straight from Hell, and he didn't do like a Chris Gaines turn, really missing out. Really missing out, George.
Yeah, I think he did all right.
Yeah, I think you're also correct. I think that's, yeah. But yes, his first number one single, Full Hearted Memory, and follow-up singles, Amarillo by Morning, and mm-hmm. A Fire I Can't Put Out. Do you know those? Do y'all know any of those?
Negatives. Yes.
Okay, good. At least James knows some of them. That's good.
I know all of them.
Good, good. Okay. Well, hey, I'm still going to check them out. Like I said, anything before early 90s, as far as country goes, I will consider. And with your ringing endorsement there, I'm looking forward to it. Okay. On this day in 1997, Wu-Tang drops their sophomore record, Wu-Tang Forever, until Martin Scorsese wants to buy this, and then we will sell it to him. The original run of compact discs featured an enhanced CD, which allowed users to walk around the Wu Mansion. We did not go into the basement. We did not go into the room behind the bookcase, you know, whatever.
I didn't see no
pantry. Well, how many chambers are there?
There you go.
Right. Because honestly, if we didn't see the champagne room, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Where there is sex allowed. Sorry, Chris. What a 90s reference. I want to know who got that reference. Anyway, yeah, that's fun. Bonus content where you get to kind of walk around. Arcade Fire did something with the suburbs where, like, it's very rudimentary and mm-hmm. it wouldn't be impressive at all, but you would, the video for the suburbs.
Oh, right.
You, like, type in your address and then the song will play as it kind of, like, starts at your street and, like, runs down different. I don't remember exactly, but it was just more interactive. It was kind of fun. And in hindsight, that record's actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
Very great record.
Great record.
I need to get a water after this. Anywho, on this day in 2008, Fleet Foxes' debut record is released with the 2008 indie Song of the Year, White Winter Hymnal. They were already pretty. I mean, people were looking forward to this record because of the EP that they put out. And honestly, that first EP, in my opinion, is the best thing that they've ever done.
I've never listened to that EP, actually.
That Mykonos song goes harder than White Winter Hymnal.
Very true. Very, very. White Winter Hymnal really did grab people's attention. But yeah, once you got into that record, there's a lot more bangers than
Blue Ridge Mountains, dog.
Right, totally. I love both those. Those first two records are the best. And the last two records are fine, but they're kind of like generic.
Mm.
Like they feel almost easy listening in a weird, like, homage to.
Like a Target commercial would pick it up.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's like a watered-down version of
Do we what have they any
were.
More of these?
Yeah. God damn it. Okay, yeah. can't just do SNL impressions the rest of the time. I mean, we could, but we shouldn't. Okay. Sorry. James, don't yell at me.
Okay.
Thank you. On this day in 2013, Like Clockwork, Queens of the Stone Age 6 studio album is released. Containing the singles My God is the Sun and I Sat by the Ocean. You know, this record, I don't know how you feel about this, James, but this record for me is an interesting kind of time and place. One more personally, I guess, because I did listen to, you know, whenever, what is the, you know,
Songs for the Deaf.
Then when that record came out, I was so into that record and I was in middle school or whatever. And then I so did not like Little Sister, that one single from the next record, that I just didn't even consider listening to the rest. And that was a mistake.
Yeah.
Because this was the record that got me back into them. But because, back around to it, James, I don't know if you remember this, Thomas, I don't remember his last name, so I can't dox him. So mm-hmm. that's good. But Thomas would in the bar that we all worked at, would play this record all the time, and I was like, this is fucking great.
Yeah. Well, you're the one who turned me on to this one because you turned me on to Villains, their record after this, mm-hmm. and Villains, oh my God.
Yeah, well, you know, luckily I've gone head first back into all their shit, and they don't have a bad record, so enjoy. What about you, James? I mean, do you remember that? Do you remember this record coming out? For me, it's a very specific time in Denton and blah, blah, blah.
Sat by the Ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this is good. I like Regular John. I like Songs for the Deaf.
But do you remember? You don't remember? You remember? You know, it being played at the bar and shit. Anyway,
I don't know if me and Thomas got along that well.
I'm not saying me and Thomas got along either. But anyway, yeah. Okay, I got you. Well, hey, guess what?
come from different worlds.
Action. On this day in TV and film history, on this day in 1983, The Man with Two Brains, starring Steve Martin and directed by Carl Reiner. That's Robbie's dad.
That's Robbie's dad. His father directed that.
R.I.P. Seriously, I haven't seen this one.
He was like 99.
I guarantee you it's hilarious.
Yeah. I also haven't seen it. I just also vividly remember like this being on display at fucking Blockbuster.
Classic.
All the time. The entire time we went to Blockbuster. Oh, hey, there's that
hinge,
thing.
Yeah, like kind of the hinge just like full-teethed
full
smile.
Teeth, yes.
On this day in 1985, Larry King live debuts. I guess this was like, he did a number of different programs, but was this his first?
This is his first on CNN.
From radio to television, because he was a radio
guy. Are you telling me that you're a homosexual?
Are you telling me?
Have you seen his interview with Norm MacDonald?
No.
No, but I can only imagine.
Norm does the bit where he says, no, I'm deeply closeted. I'm not gay. He's like, but that means you're gay, Norm.
But that means you're gay.
And that old fucking Hollywood Park Slant voice.
I love that the Workaholics guys were interviewed by them, so they get to have drops of Larry King going, tight butthole. like what a gem. Like, already you wrote such a fantastic classic stoner show from the 2010s, you know, it's
and they're still thinking 10 steps ahead.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you find yourself with Larry King and he's quoting the most ridiculous shit from your show, and it's, and what, cuz he also just, I mean, tight butthole. Everything they say from the show, somehow he read, and it's just amazing. All right, well, on this day in 1988, yes, the in hindsight, extremely problematic film, Big. It's hard to watch that movie as a kid and understand the problematic nature, especially as a young boy, young white boy. You know what I mean? Because I'm sure a young POC boy is at least like, that white lady is going to get me in trouble. You know what I mean? But as a
young, but if it's Elizabeth Perkins in 1988, I mean,
it's true, dude.
That's the problem, is every boy's going to risk it. But even if it I definitely just didn't. I mean, seriously, I think I told y'all about this weird TV movie called Milk Money.
Oh yeah,
where it's like a group of young boys who like get their milk money together to try to go get a prostitute, and then that prostitute ends up being his stepmommy. And then we get the kind of documentary films that we find on the naughty web.
Yeah, well, she got her hand stuck in the disposal.
So. Right, exactly. Hey, can you maybe if you put soap? What are you doing? Yeah. Anyway. On this day, on this day, 2001, Mel Brooks' musical "The Producers" wins a record-setting 12 Tonys. I haven't seen that one, but I know that it features a hilarious, you get springtime for Hitler and Germany. like who gets to write that? Thank you, Mel Brooks. And if you want to cut that out and make that a drop, anytime you need me to just sing Hitler, there you go. Or, hey, I just said it there.
Yeah.
That's what's fun. Edit it out, and all of a sudden you can just Hitler, Hitler, Hitler.
Tuesday, June 3rd, I'll remember.
That's called market. on this day in 2003, The Animatrix is released. The only film that almost made me throw up when I watched it as a child.
Why is that?
Because there's a scene where like the AI, whatever, I'm forgetting like all the names and shit, but the AI like opens up a mech suit, right? And there's a man in it, and then it just dismembers it.
Oh, yeah.
Because obviously there's just no thought to. That's the point. Is it's a machine and it's brutal. And but I was 13 and I was like, but I would really love to watch it now. It's just not streaming anywhere. And unless I go find it on like DVD or Blu-ray, I don't want to purchase it on a streaming platform or something. So I got to go find it, or eBay, I suppose. I don't want to get into that. Hey, I need to start a different podcast where I just talk about, like, have you been to Blu-ray.com and seen the deals? You know what I mean? Or, like, I need an eBay site that's good for lots. You know, well, I'll do it later, but we're not doing it right now. On this day in 2005, Lords of Dogtown.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun one. It really, in hindsight, is not a great movie.
No, it's not, but at the
fun
time.
Fun sequences, you know? Just not really well put together, and the story isn't really there.
Hard to do biopics back then.
Well, especially when it's so involved with the people who are actually there, you're never going to actually have a concise vision, because You got a bunch of unreliable narrators. You didn't decide on one. You have a lot of them.
Cool movie, though.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very fun. R.I.P. Heath Ledger. On this day in 2011, X-Men First Class. I thought we did this. Oh, Days of Future Past is the one. Yeah. This is like the second best one, I think. It's pretty damn good. Oh, shout out Caleb Landry Jones. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Local Dallas guy. He's been doing a lot of cool shit lately, honestly. So, good for him. On this day in 2016, pop star Never Stopping, very underrated movie comes out. I don't know if it's underrated because I did rewatch it, and it relies too heavily on the talking head mockumentary style, where it does get old.
Okay, I've never seen it.
I mean, it's funny. You should watch it at least once. But on a rewatch, I was pretty worn out by like the third act.
I do love Andy Samberg.
It's got some funny shit, but maybe because I had seen it before, by about the third act. It's just weird when they do kind of get into more like narrative-driven moments where I'm like, whoa, where am I? Like, shit, we've just done so much back and forth from people talking and commenting over. Like, I'm watching a VH1 show, and like now we're in the movie, and like it's kind of jarring. But anyway, we have a minute to do birthdays, so why don't we go ahead and do that?
Jump on in.
Jump on in. You know what? Let me just fucking sift through whatever the fuck IMDb thinks they're fucking doing real quick. Sorry. That was me too angry.
No, you're good. We could say turning 58 today, Anderson Cooper.
Okay. Gay. Yeah, gay. I think he's the biggest one today. I'm really not seeing a lot of substantial birthdays. I mean, I know I've seen Imogene Poots and some stuff. She's turning 36, but I'm not saying I remember enjoying. Like, oh, I love her in this. I don't know. Hey, Tony Curtis was a person. He was born on this day, and he's now dead. Hey, the mom from Shaun of the Dead. There we go.
Hey, oh, perfect.
Turning 79, Penelope Wilton. Happy birthday.
Penelope.
Right? Advertisement. I love it. Hmm. She looks kind of familiar, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, fuck it.
We got died on this day in 2016, Muhammad Ali.
Oh, okay. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, God. Oh, we're still here.
Eating it.